Take your Bibles today, and we're turning to Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to read verses 11 down through 26. The story of Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate. We have been following the road that Christ is taking, his road of suffering and so forth. This coming Good Friday, we're going to be just looking at the whole Good Friday message in a special message that we'll have there along with our program. Next week, the Lord willing, is Easter Sunday, and we don't want to bypass that. The next 2 weeks, I want to be speaking to you on the subject of Easter and what it's all about, what it really means for us. So, Matthew chapter 27, we start at the 11th verse. Now, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Notice, it's all about Christ the King, right? That's why we're celebrating Palm Sunday. He claimed to be king. He exhibited his kingship. How does he answer this? "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priest and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd one prisoner whom they wanted. And there had been a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered Pilate, they said to him, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting in the judgment seat, his wife sent a word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priest and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. And the governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." Let's just take a very quick backup here in our study of these events. And remember that in our last lesson, we found out that the Jewish Sanhedrin had decided that they were going to seek to have Jesus Christ crucified. And therefore, in order to do this, they had to come as quickly as possible and talk to one of the Roman governors because they had the authority to perform such a crucifixion. The Jewish people could not do this. They could not execute somebody. They had no capital punishment that they could carry out. But the Romans could do this, and so they were coming to him. I was reading James Montgomery Boyce the other day, and he said that it seemed almost as though they were of the opinion that because they had already decided this, that it was all going to be a very quick, done deal, that there wasn't going to be any much discussion anymore. But you notice when we look at the story here, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And he starts a whole time of judgment all over again. This case is not over with as far as Pilate is concerned. It might have been for the Jewish people, but not for Pilate. He wanted to hear all the facts and learn the case about him. He wanted to know if Jesus was claiming to be king. He also wanted to know whether Jesus had committed any crimes or any sins that he was guilty for a capital punishment charge. Now, you know, I was reading this the other day, and something came to mind. Don't ask me how this popped into my mind, but did any of you, when you were a lot younger, ever watch some of the old mysteries that were on television? Anybody do that? Well, I used to watch them, and one of the ones that I really enjoyed watching was the mystery programs about Perry Mason. Any of you ever see the old Perry Mason show? The thing that was amazing, it always, throughout the entire show of the Perry Mason mysteries, it looked until the last 5 minutes as though all the evidence was clearly, unmistakably against the one that Perry was trying to defend. It looked like everything was against him and against the person that was being represented by him. But you notice something, that in the last 5 minutes, all of a sudden, from some unknown place, Perry would always pull out some new piece of evidence that totally showed that the person that was being represented by him was totally innocent, and that he was worthy of not being charged, but that he was worthy of being set free. The story here in the events regarding Jesus Christ is just the opposite. In the Perry Mason stories, it was always guilty, 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 guilty. Oh, innocent, go free. Here it's just the other way around. Every time something comes up, Jesus is shown to be what? Innocent. Again, he is seen to be innocent, 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 until the very end, there was one thing that could not keep Jesus from being crucified, and we'll look at what it is a little later on. Pilate was not a great governor. We know from history that he was not a noble person at all. He was someone who married a lady by the name of Procula, and that was a smart move politically, but it wasn't a very good move morally. Procula was not known for her notorious living, especially in the city of Rome, which was a rather decadent place sometimes. But nonetheless, there are many other things besides Pilate's life that were not good. Pilate was one of those governors that if he wanted to get things his own way, he would find a way to do it. For example, one day he had decided that there were a group of people that had to go. And so what he did, he went out and got a group of his soldiers, dressed them up like ordinary citizens, and then sent them out. They confronted the people that were against Pilate's position, and they killed them, just like they were not soldiers, just like they were not, you know, Roman leaders or anything like that. They just went out in the cover of that cloak. They carried out their way of doing things. And that's the way Pilate worked. He, on several different occasions, pulled stunts just like that. We can demonstrate that historically if you want to see it. However, there are other things that are just amazing here in the whole story, too. The story about Procula herself coming to the Lord, Pilate hears from his wife, Procula, and what does she say? She says, "Have nothing to do with this man. Don't harm him. Don't hurt him. Don't kill him. Don't find him guilty." He is pleading, this infamous governor's wife is now pleading to set Jesus free, to liberate him. Why is that? Because she'd had a dream. And in the dream, she knew from the dream that God revealed to her the innocence of Jesus Christ and that he should not be brought to trial. And yet what happened? In spite of all of that, she made up her mind that she was going to do that. That's the kind of character here Pilate had. Even if his wife told him that she had a message from God the night before and that God told her that she should not be going through with this, in the end, he did not pay attention to her. Notice how Jesus starts out his whole discussion with Jesus here in this special occasion. He said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" One of the reasons why Matthew especially includes that is because of the four Gospels that are in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one was written for their own special purpose. Okay? The Gospel of John was written to show how the Gospel is for the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Gospel of John, chapter 3. Then, too, we have the story that was found of the Gospel as recorded in Mark. In the book of Mark, we see Jesus, the miracle worker. He's going out doing great and mighty acts all over the place. And that is very impressive. Again, though, that's something different than what Matthew is saying. The same thing is true with Luke. If ever you want to see a picture of what Jesus as a human being was like without in any way denying the fact that he really is God, but you wanted to see what kind of a fellow he really was, there's all kinds of evidence of what Jesus Christ really was like in his humanity. But it's in the Gospel of Matthew that we see the emphasis put on the kingdom again and again and again. Even in the Gospel of Matthew, you have the story of the Sermon on the Mount. What is that? That's the great message of what the kingdom of God is really all about. And so here the kingdom again is the theme that is brought up here. Notice the king here is the important subject, and Pilate wants to know what Jesus has to say about this. It's interesting. Jesus did not deny that he was the king. He said, "You said it." In other words, yeah, you got it right. But you know what? The reason there was some confusion among some people was because they thought that if Jesus Christ came as king, that meant that automatically he was going to set up an earthly political kingdom in Jerusalem and that he was going to rule and reign the way that he's going to do someday. Now, there's some people who don't believe that Jesus is going to come again and that he's going to reign in Jerusalem or that he is going to rule in that place, that he will have a literal kingdom. But I want to tell you something. There's increasingly more evidence to that fact all the time. I heard just this week that there is evidence now that the Jewish people are behind the scenes secretly putting more and more things together to get ready for the coming kingdom. The Bible says that in the last days, that's all going to happen. There's going to be a earthly kingdom that Jesus Christ will rule over. That's not the end of the story. Eventually, that kingdom will move on from the earthly kingdom into the eternal kingdom of the new heaven and the new earth. But until all of that happens, there is going to be a future kingdom. But the trouble was, it wasn't right then. They didn't realize this. They were thinking only about the political kingdom. And Pilate was smart enough to know, according to the scriptures, that that's not what Jesus was talking about. He didn't want to send Jesus to be crucified because he knew that Jesus wasn't trying to plead that he really is a political earthly king. If he had been that, Jesus Christ would automatically have been killed. But Pilate didn't even believe that. He did not believe that Jesus was king. He knew the real reason why Jesus was even being brought up in trial, and that was because the Jewish leaders of Israel were envious of him. It was nothing to do whether he would be king now or in the future or anything like that. There is a coming kingdom, but you know what? There is a coming even greater kingdom someday, a new heaven and new earth that's going to be fantastic. It's going to be greater than anything you could ever imagine. And Jesus Christ, of course, was going to have all of that come. Now, Pilate was thinking about this. He got the warning from his wife. He knew the testimony of the Jewish people there. Everything about the whole story is just like those old Perry Mason things, only in reverse. Everything is innocent, 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 innocent. And now they have to think, well, we've got to find some way to bring charges against him. So Pilate is sitting there, and being the coward that he is, what does he do? He tries to avoid the whole thing. He's the governor. He knew the facts. He knew the innocence of Jesus Christ. He could have declared Jesus Christ innocent and dismissed that whole case in a moment. But you know why he didn't do it? Because he had to somehow be able to settle those nasty Jewish leaders who were badgering him again and again and again to get him to go ahead and kill Christ. So how did he try to get around this? Well, he's a pretty crafty fellow. If you read the whole accounts of the gospel, you find out he tried four things. Okay? Number one, he found out something that Jesus Christ really was from the area of Galilee. And therefore he said, ha, there's my way out. I know what I can do. I can send Jesus over from my rule and my reign, and I can send Jesus over to Galilee to Herod the king and let Herod take care of this whole mess. You know anybody like that? People who try to shift the blame and put the fault on somebody else or to get somebody else to do the job that they themselves don't want to do? That's what Pilate is really doing here. It was a pretty clever idea, and yet it was a way of not being actually to declare Jesus guilty himself. So, guess what? How did it work out? Well, after a lot of hocus-pocus there in Herod's court, Herod sent Jesus back to Jerusalem. And you know what? He reached no decision, too. You know what? He was a coward, too. The only thing that was positive as far as those two men were concerned is they had been kind of enemies for a while. But after Pilate had sent Jesus down to Galilee, Herod thought, well, you know, he does think of me as a great leader after all. He's willing to send even this prisoner Jesus down here to me. But, you know, in the end, even though they may have become better friends because of the whole thing, they did not, either one of them, reach the right decision, even though they knew the truth. Boy, how would you like a court case like that? It was never that way in Perry Mason, I can tell you. His people were always innocent. But here in this case, they don't know what to do. So, Pilate thinks it all over, and he says, I've got a second plan. What's the second plan? Well, if you read Luke chapter 23, you find out that one of the things that Pilate decided to do was offer to punish Jesus in some way without actually executing him. If he could punish him, maybe these people would say, okay, enough's enough. You punished him. I guess we don't have to kill him. I guess we don't have to send him to the cross or anything like that. They thought that was a proper way to deal with the whole thing. You know what? Didn't work. They wanted to kill Jesus. Why? Because the leaders were envious of him. They wanted to destroy him. He was more powerful than even they were, and they knew it. The things that were true about his life were unbelievable. And so now what are they going to do? Pilate has to come up with a third possibility. And we read about it here in our scripture today. Pilate looks around and says, you know what? It's Passover time right now. I think I've got a solution here. You know, every year at Passover, we let one prisoner go free without getting killed or, you know, put in prison or whatever. And I think I know what to do. There's a guy out there right now who is really bad. Who is he? His name is Barabbas. And Barabbas was as bad as they get. He wasn't just a possible criminal. He was known to be a criminal in every way. What did he do? What kind of crimes did he do? Well, he tried to overthrow the whole Roman government. That was one thing. He was involved in all kinds of murderous exploits and everything else to try to carry out his idea about the way things should go. And so Pilate's thinking, maybe I could put Barabbas up there as one of the things that people could choose from. Maybe I can let them choose between Barabbas or Jesus. And certainly they would be smart enough, wouldn't they, to choose to let Barabbas be punished and let Jesus go free. I mean, stop and think about it. If you had a guy over here that was known to be a criminal of every sort, even one who was involved in violent crimes, and then you had someone over here like Jesus who went about healing the sick and raising the dead and preaching the gospel and showing kindness and tenderness in every place that he went. He would go from city to city. People would bring the folks out to him, and again and again and again, he would perform these great and tremendous deeds. I mean, wouldn't that settle it? The evidence was so unbelievably clear. I mean, you wouldn't even need Perry Mason for that. The facts were there. But you know what? The human mind. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. What you think, what I think, doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what Jesus Christ has said in his word. A lot of people have been told things that we ought to think and ought to believe for many, many years, and yet, you know what? There's not a shred of evidence to do it. Why do people think that the traditions of men or the things of men are better than the clear and unmistakable testimony of the word of God? But they decided they were going to ask to release Barabbas and to have Jesus Christ be crucified. There's something to that is quite amazing to me in this whole thing. And that is when Pilate reminds them, are you going to have this man killed, this Jesus? I find no fault in him. I don't know of any crime that he's committed. Are you listening, folks? He's innocent. They weren't listening. They had their own minds already made up. And so they were starting to go ahead with their thoughts. But Pilate thinks, well, maybe there's one more thing I can do. You know, I tried to go through a temporary little punishment without execution, but now maybe if I could take Jesus and really bang him up bad, you know, make him look bad, whip him with the whips that were used. They used to take leather whips that had pieces of stone or pieces of metal in them and beat people with these things so that after a short amount of time, they looked very, very bad. And Jesus did look very bad. He was bloody all over the place. And yet, you know what? He was thinking that maybe if these people see this, maybe they'll have a little bit of compassion for this Jesus, and we can just let that be enough of a punishment. Nope. None of these things matter. They would not measure up. Why was it? The people knew what they wanted. You know, and if people are determined to do something that they want to do, it doesn't matter how many times God says it. If they want to do it, they're going to do it. And yet, the Bible says that we ought to follow the Lord and not just the mere testimonies of men. Anyway, they were thinking, Pilate is now wondering, what am I going to do? I've tried four different ideas about how to get Jesus off here. What am I going to do? And while he's thinking about this, something happened that changed the whole picture. It wasn't that there was suddenly new criminal evidence that showed that Jesus Christ really was a criminal that deserved death. That didn't come up. Nobody brought any new evidence. What he heard was that the Jewish leader suddenly thought, hey, you know what? This man's a politician. He likes to be voted in. He likes to be in authority. He likes to have positions of glory and honor. And therefore, we better remind him that if we complain to the emperor back in Rome all about Pilate, how bad he is and how he's not doing the right job and how he's letting the good people go, if all of that was going on, then they thought maybe Pilate will give in and he will go along and do what we want because he will want to save his own skin. He wants to stay out of trouble himself. I don't want to get too personal on this, but just ask yourself a personal question. You ever choose the wrong thing even though you knew it was wrong because you wanted to save your own skin? Because you didn't want to have any trouble because of it? That's what's happening here. He had been warned by his wife, don't have anything against this man. And yet now he was ready to have something against this man, Jesus, because he was more concerned about his own future than about justice. What kind of a judge is this? This is the greatest miscarriage of justice probably in the human race throughout all of history. And yet, he was willing to go ahead of it for his own political standing and to keep in not being in any trouble with the emperor. Well, what does he do? He thinks, well, there's maybe one more way I can make my point made. So he went out and he got a bowl of water brought in. And he had that water sitting right there in front of all the people. And he says, listen, I've checked this man over from top to bottom. I can't find anything wrong with him. He is not guilty. He is innocent. If you do anything to him, his blood is on your hands. It's not on my hands. He took his hands and he washed his hands in water and said, I'm not guilty of this. But wait a minute. Who did actually have to give the final word, go ahead and kill him, go ahead and crucify him? People could cry, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, but only Pilate could make the final decision, the final word. Who really was responsible for the decision that was made? It was Pilate, and no matter how he tried to excuse himself, he was guilty. But you know what? I got news for you. We were all guilty too. Because Pilate sinned, and by his sin, Jesus went to the cross. And we have sinned, and we have all come short of the glory of God. And because of our sins, Jesus Christ went to the cross as well. I can't sit there and just say, oh, Pilate, terrible man. Yes, terrible man. By the way, you ever wonder what happened to Pilate? Let me tell you a couple of facts that we found out this week just by scoping around, you know, and checking out some historical facts. Pilate lived to be a governor in Jerusalem until about 36 AD. Now, Pilate was a governor while Jesus Christ was still alive, and Jesus was alive around 33 AD. So at 33 AD, Jesus was still alive, and Pilate was still the judge, and he had a choice about making the right decision. But in the end, we know how it turned out. But you see, 3 years after he made that horrible decision, he was no longer governor. And then 3 years after that horrible decision and his no longer being governor, what happened. Historians seem to suggest that Pilate did one of two things. He either went out and committed suicide. Sounds a lot like Judas, doesn't it? Either he went out and committed suicide, or he himself was arrested and eventually executed. Whatever the case, it is believed that at the age of 39 years of age, Pilate was history, and what's more, his body was thrown into the Tiber River. How long did all that movement for prestige and honor and glory last him? 6 years. He had 6 more years of life here on earth and maybe a little glory for a few of those years, but after that amount of time, where was he? His life was over. He died in the face of having committed Jesus Christ to the cross. And you know, he accused him of that. The thing I think that is the most astounding to me, though, in this whole story is when they look at Pilate and they said, okay, you don't want to take the blame yourself? We'll take it. You can blame us. And what's more, don't just blame us, too. Blame our children. You know, our children, our grandchildren. Oh, what a terrible, terrible thing. You know, you look at your grandchildren, and I think that many of you here, as you look at your children, as you look at your grandchildren, you say, you know, we love them all very much. We're proud of them. We like to see their accomplishments. We like the things that they do. There's so many good things, and, you know, we like to go and visit with them and all of that. We try to get to Holland, as you know, as often as we can to see Dan and Grace, and whenever Olivia's coming in with Lukey in from Kentucky, why, we're glad to see that happening too. There's just a certain privilege of just being able to see the ones that you know and the ones that you love. And yet here is Pilate saying, being told by these people, they're saying, take all of the guilt and stick it on us and our children. Wow. Did the children ever bear the punishment? And just a few years later, the city of Jerusalem was basically destroyed. And all of the important things, the temple and all of that, were pretty well done away with. How in the world could that happen? This all occurred before or by 70 AD. How in the world could that all have happened? It was all the fact that they had made the choice. And now God was saying, all right, you want judgment to be on you and your children, so be it. And that's what happened. And you know what? For the next hundreds and hundreds of years, there wasn't a nation of Israel. There wasn't things pertaining to the Jewish people that were established. But you know what? The Bible, which is never wrong, the prophecies of Scripture that are never wrong, the Bible says that in the last days, oh, there we go again, in the last days, I will restore my people back into the land again. And you know what? In 1948, it happened. And it's still happening right now. Anybody who doesn't believe that there's a future coming yet for the nation of Israel and the kingdom in Jerusalem better look very carefully at those Old Testament prophecies. We don't have to just run to the book of Revelation to try to prove some of this stuff. We can find it there, but if you want to see it, it's as plain as the bell right there in the prophecies of the Old Testament. Just go home sometime and read Zechariah chapter 14. It's abundantly clear that there is coming that kingdom. God predicted that he was going to bring his nation back together again, and he has. And now, as I just told you a few minutes ago, there's beginning to be more evidence apparent among Jewish people that they're starting to look forward to having eventually a temple appear again in Jerusalem. And people with robes there and things like that. You say, how in the world is that all going to happen? I mean, there's a bunch of Islamic people on the mount there, but they're finding ways to even move in the direction of being able to accomplish all of these things just the way the Bible says. It's going to happen, folks. It'll happen. You know what? And even though God kept them out of their land for many, many years, God's not done with them, and God's not done with us. It doesn't matter today if you're Jew, if you're Gentile, it doesn't matter who you are. All that matters is that Jesus Christ is a Savior, and a great and mighty Savior. Man cannot wash away his sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow, that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. He's the only one who can do it. People who were Gentiles came and believed in Paul's day through his ministry. But even Paul himself, a Jew who once had fought the gospel, he himself believed too. And today we're seeing people around the world continuing to come to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what God predicted, and that's the way it's going to be. God has a plan. He's going to fulfill it. And there's nothing, not a single judge in the entire history of the world that is going to stand in the way of what God has declared. Every last thing will be fulfilled. And it will all be accomplished. Salvation. Redemption. Why? Because just like we sang this morning, there is a Redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son. He's the Redeemer. And you know what? He paid the price. But just like I told the people this morning over at Director's Hall, it doesn't matter how much you know about it. It doesn't matter whether you believe the facts of the Bible or not. I mean, I think you should, but the important thing is not whether you just intellectually accept them as true. The important thing is, have you received him personally? Has he entered into your heart? Do you know him in a personal way? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your King of Kings? Even Pilate knew that Jesus was a king. And you know what? One day that King Jesus Christ is going to appear again. He's going to come again, and every eye will see him. The people badgered Pilate with a threat of unfavorable report of his conduct to Caesar. And it was that one thing that tipped the scales. There was no evidence against Jesus Christ. The one thing that tipped the scales against Jesus at Pilate's trial was because of the fact that he was a coward who failed to do justice the way that he should. He knew the truth but didn't do it. Don't be like that. We're not just criticizing him and saying, what a terrible man. We're just simply saying, don't be like that. If we know the truth, receive the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that gives eternal life. That's the important thing. Pilate chose to humor the Jewish leaders. They were all guilty, but so are we. It's a searching question to which there is only one answer. What can wash away my sins? It's all right there. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So I hope that as you go through the next several days and you think about all these historic events, you'll see that there's a whole lot at stake right here. What we do based on what the Word of God has said. Let's pray to God now. Father in heaven, certainly there is a story here for all of us. Before we get too harsh upon the man Pilate or the Jewish leaders, whatever their crimes and whatever their sins may have been, let us see our own as well. But let us also see the promise of forgiveness that you have given to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, bring that home to us. May that be the thing that motivates us now in this world and in the one to come. Lord, what a great future you have in store for us because of what Jesus has done. Hear us, we pray, and we ask all of this now. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.